the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand.
We welcome everyone to our chapel this morning, especially those who are here also for the Reformation lectures. And another special greeting to those who are high school students here today, wishing you the Lord's blessings as well. We turn our attention to God's holy word now, as it is recorded in Paul's letter to the Romans, chapter 3, and we'll read verses 23 and 24 as follows in Jesus' name. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Thank you for these words of truth, O Lord. And now may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. Thanks be to God that our salvation is entirely free, that it's free because it has been given to us by his grace, his undeserved love, and we're receiving that with the empty hand of faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. It's sad, though, that there are many people in the world today who react differently to this message and do not take hold of it. I'm reminded of a conversation that took place with an elderly pastor in our synod just a week ago or so. I was having a phone conversation with him, and we were talking about the way people receive the message of the gospel. And he thought back to a time a number of years ago when he had a visit with a man who reacted to this message and said, it's all so simple, so silly. And there's something extra sad about this, because this man happened to have been one who was brought up in a very good Christian family, attended years here at Bethany campus, but he had come under the influence of an atheistic professor after leaving here. And then as the pastor was reminding him of what he had been brought up in and everything, he said, I don't care, he says, I don't believe a word of it. He says, it's all so silly, it's all so simple. The fact that God would save you free anyway. Free. It is one of those words that when we see it out in the advertising and so on too, we may be somewhat skeptical at times, right? Because we're wondering, have I really checked the fine print? Sometimes you got to use a microscope on it almost. What's out there? Is it really that free? There always seems to be maybe some catch to it, strings attached and so on. And by the way, that's not just in the business world. I think it can happen easily with us in our social lives too. We may hear of someone going to do something for us free, free of charge. You're going to do that for me? Come on. What's the catch? Are you expecting me to give you a little help on that paper for Chappie D's religion class? What's the deal here? What's in return? Well, that also, that thinking, though, can happen even in our spiritual lives, too. We may wonder, when God says that it's free, well, there must be a little catch to it, isn't there? Can it really be that free? After all, because of our old sinful nature that hangs around with us, the theologians call it that we have that opinio legis in us, the opinion of the law. That's always thinking, yeah, I got to contribute something on my part for this. Can't just be a free gift, this matter of salvation. But right here, the Apostle Paul says it pretty clearly, doesn't he? We are justified freely by his grace. His grace, his undeserved love freely given. That was certainly a tremendous eye-opener, heart-opener, and heaven's gate-opener, wasn't it, for Martin Luther? And we're thankful that it was, because of look at what we're able to benefit from today as a result of God allowing this servant to rediscover what's always been there in the scripture and to passionately take hold of that for his life and make sure that he passed it on through his writings and so on, especially like in this small catechism that we've learned that way. Simple and powerful, but yet that's what it was. Simple message, but very powerful, and Luther took hold of it. As we are gathered here today, we give thanks to God that he's had us see this right path to be on, this road this straight road, which really is Jesus. He's the way, the truth, and the life. But as we're on that road, there are these ditches, right? One to the right and one to the left. You could say that the one on the right-hand side, we might call it the puffed-up ditch. And that is the one we were just talking about here, where instead of, like Luther, seeing himself as a beggar just to receive with an empty hand the gift coming forward, and which that man that was visiting with the pastor did not see about his own life, we can be tempted to think the same too. We can be tempted easily to think that, well, when it's all said and done, you know, God, if there is something to this matter of contributing toward heaven on my part or so on, God knows good intentions, he knows my life, what's done, and so on. Sometimes we have to wonder the way people might write their obituaries that way as well. But in the Bible, it says very clearly, woe to those who are wise in their own eyes and clever in their own sight. And lest anyone would think that they could go along with that way of thinking, being puffed up in their own way of holding themselves up before the Lord on Judgment Day, for example, the Apostle Paul says it clearly here, doesn't he? Leaves no one out. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Falling short of the glory of God, what does it mean? Is it just bringing down a notch? You know what this means. This means really damnation. This really means that in that ditch, that puffed up ditch side, it's the finger of the holy God that could just with a pinprick bring that to a halt. And that comes down like a pop balloon. And this ditch doesn't really, you talk about a bottomless pit. This does have a bottom to it, but it's eternal destruction in the place of hell itself. That fiery destruction, the place of Satan. Remember, Luther said, fast bound in Satan's chains I lay, death rooted darkly o'er us. Only salvation freely provided by God himself is what gets us out of this endless fiery pit. But friends, I submit to you that there is another ditch. It's on the left-hand side, shall we say, that I think, and is also very steep and equally devastating. And I think this is the one that also can really have an impact on people who still are on the way of salvation. They know about Christ as Savior, but what happens is you can veer off and get so close to falling into this ditch on the left. We might call this the ditch of despair. We know that we have those depressing moments in our lives as we consider our standing in the light of God's holy law. In fact, people have often said that, you know, while we're pretty reluctant to talk to even somebody that's our closest friend about some inward thoughts that we may have, whether we're thinking, as we've talked about this week in chapel here, grudges held against someone, or the lusting area, the matter of greed, the matter of coveting, jealousy, the matter of even deep worry and so on. Whatever those things are, we may be pretty reluctant to come forward and tell people about that, of course. Well, how reluctant we are to want to have this brought out before God himself, thou who knowest all things, and have us realize that this stops us up short. But the problem with being over on that side, yes, it's important to confess our sin, but to step off into the ditch of despair is to go into that territory where one thinks, oh, but this free gift that I've heard about of salvation through faith in Christ maybe cannot be for me. After all, I've even been a privileged one. I've sat in chapels and heard the message again and again. And yet, what about my own life? How I've betrayed my Savior and so on. And we may doubt whether this gift is for you, for me. And yet, that's the good news of it all. Here is where Paul is directing us especially to see what's said here, and that is this. The subject matter is, yes, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. But isn't it the same subject matter? You take a look. The same subject is there, all. have been justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. This is a matter that is to be just simply accepted by faith. It's a simple message, yes, but a powerful message for our life. And how can you and I know that this message really is genuine when we talk about it being free? Well, not only does it say it clearly in the text here, and God is telling us that, we are saved freely by his grace, through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, but it's also a matter of this. This is, from our vantage point, of course, very free, but it had a price to it, a huge price. The price of the only begotten Son of God himself. Jesus comes into our world, and while we have many sins against our Heavenly Father, he comes as the one who took our place. And he completely carries out perfection before God so that every thought, too, that he ever had in his life as he lived life on this earth was always perfect before the Heavenly Father, lived in your place and mine. He goes then to the cross there, that place of the skull, and he pays the punishment price that was demanded of us in the halls of divine justice. And how, what is that price? Well, think, dear friends, this isn't just ordinary blood. This is the blood of God's own Son. As John wrote about it that way and said, the blood of Jesus Christ, God's own Son, cleanses us from all sin. Now, it's very interesting that the Apostle Paul writes in another letter to Titus, when he talks about baptism as connecting us to our Savior. And it's so similar in wording in it with that phrase when he talks about baptism for our life and how we should have this certainty that this gift really is for you and me through baptism. He says this, he saved us by the washing of rebirth and renewal of the Holy Spirit. And then here comes the phrase later, so that having been justified by Christ's grace, that means declared holy and righteous by Christ's grace, we might become heirs having the hope of eternal life. It's very fitting that we do think a lot about the book of Romans at this time of the year when we're getting ready, or on the eve of all these celebrations for the Lutheran Reformation and what it means for our life. Fitting, yes. Think of it this way too. Romans. Well, the Church of the Romans was not giving Luther the solace that way, and the peace, and the confidence. But boy, the letter of Romans certainly was doing so for his life, and for your life and mine too. Yeah, foolish message in the eyes of the world. But remember, God saves people through that foolish message. Because this is the message of the cross, it is the message of the gift that is for you and for me. And what do we do with a gift like this? I mean, this is the gift of all gifts. We got Christmas coming up too. It's easy to get off on all those other gifts that we're thinking about. Oh, I got to buy this, buy that. The gift is tremendous of what God has done for us in his Son, Jesus Christ. What's our response? Isn't it interesting that it's in his introduction to the book of Romans, when he writes a commentary on it, that Martin Luther talks about the response this way and says the response of faith is this. He says that faith is such a living, moving, active thing that it doesn't ask whether good works are to be done, but before even asking that, it's out there wanting to do these things. And that also includes telling others, doesn't it, too, of this wonderful message. Are you the type of person that likes to press the button after you've seen videos out there, whether it's on YouTube or just on your phone or whatever, that likes to press the button again and again and let's see that reaction of those people? That was a tremendous thing, the way they reacted. It was, you know, mouth gaping to see how they reacted about this special gift that was given to them. You and I can remind ourselves every day that we have reason to press the button again and again and again and again. And to remind ourselves of the gift given to us there at the font. Because at the font, is really where this name tag has been placed on us in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Ghost. That name tag is written by the finger of God Himself. And we return to that daily. Though we sin much, we return to that and have the confidence that this tremendous gift is for you and me. And may God move us to have so much joy and to share this with others, even as Dr. Luther did himself. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Unseal our lips to sing thy praise, our hearts in true devotion raise, our faith increase, our minds enlight, that we may know thy name aright. Amen.